Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I just want to let the listeners know that this episode to you by Magma, the 2018 Comedy Festival.
That was very good, Andy. The only problem was you said the wrong year that we did it at the comedy festival. You said it was from 2018, and yet at that point it was merely a twinkle in the mind's eye of Alistair Trombley Birchall.
I think if you'll find that dreamt the Magma idea. 2006, while I was living in New Zealand, and then carried it around.
That's some gestation right there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you have told me that it came to you in a dream, but let's drill down to this more in the episode proper, which is coming up just after this little bit of introductory music. Music, 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 introductory music, music, music.
Hello and welcome to Tuna Think Tank, the podcast where he just laughs obnoxiously because he thinks that I'm doing his voice.
Well, but does that make my laugh obnoxious?
No, not obnoxious, Andy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it as much as an insult as it sounds.
I mean, charmingly obnoxious. That's the thing you can be. I feel like there are some people who do manage to pull off that kind of obnoxiousness, which is the most attractive thing that can possibly be. That very fuckable obnoxiousness, you know?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think that's kind of what most funniness is. It's just oh, how dare you be so rude as to say things that are not in any way helpful.
Life is hard enough without you talking about things in this way, in a totally unproductive manner. I find that charming, the way in which you have conversationally added to the burden of existence somehow makes me feel light. Paradoxically, that's what it is, though, isn't it? It's all a little paradox. You're saying horrible things that aren't true, and and it's making everything better.
Well, I watched the first episode of that Indian matchmaker show on Netflix.
Carly's been watching that. She's enjoying it a great deal.
And in the first episode, I think the first lady that they're trying to matchmake, that you meet, she doesn't get the idea of anybody having a sense of humor.
Oh, I love
it. She doesn't know. She doesn't know why. And at first I was like, that doesn't make sense. But really, it just stands in the way of life.
Comedy? I mean, if life is facilitated by a clear and accurate understanding of the world around you, comedy does not help in any way.
No. That's right. Unless the clear understanding is of references of other movies that you want to understand a little bit of that you get through watching The Simpsons.
That's right. Yes, and you are able to cobble together a working understanding of popular culture and some historical things as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, what was the
like
thing in the intro
knowledge.
That we were talking? What was the thing in the intro that you were saying that we were going to get back to?
The thing in the intro.
This dream of mine.
Oh, yeah. Tell me again of the dream of Magma.
Andy, it was so real. I was out in the middle of the ocean on an island made entirely out of magma. Engineers around me would extract it using big pipes made of thick, which were the only things that could handle the heat.
Mm.
And it would squirt everywhere, but it would all function. Everybody just was happy to live there. Nobody seemed too hot.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's fantastic, Alistair.
It just came fully formed, and then I've just kind of carried that idea around for since until last year or whatever.
Until you made it a reality. You brought something from the dream world, from the parallel dimension of the dream world, into our reality.
I said, Andy, I'm finally going to do a weird show by myself. And you said...
That's right. Can I be in it?
A
weird show by yourself. That's the sort of thing I've always wanted to be a part of.
And I went, Andy, you being a part of this is the only chance of it having any chance of being good. So thank you. I thank you for this intrusion.
So nice. It's so nice that the origin of the Magma Show is the same origin of a lot of, I would say, horrible psychopathic murders. You know, things that start out as a dream, a fantasy, and then mm-hmm. become a terrifying reality inflicted on people trapped in a room. And so we did exactly the same thing.
Yeah, if instead of saying that it came to me in a dream, I was to say a dog told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that dog was God.
Imagine, though, if this is Son of Sam who says they were told to do the murders by a dog, right?
Mm.
Firstly, imagine if it was the case that this was the only person in the history of existence who was able to communicate with animals. And the thing that the animal chose to communicate to that person was a list of murders to commit. Perhaps that's not that unlikely. Perhaps that's what would happen if dogs who have been made our slaves, kept trapped inside, forced to behave mm-hmm. in strange ways, if they were able to communicate with us. Maybe that's all they'd try to convince us to do with their powerful oratory.
You know what I think would do it if I was a dog that would make me filled with murderous rage? Was that thing that people expect where their dog needs to walk near their heel?
Yeah.
And then when they don't, they yank them back.
That's absolutely, if you did that to a person, that the murder that they did afterwards would be considered justified.
Yeah. And can I say, this Son of Sam person, if this is the guy who spoke to the dog, can I say, when the dog told him to do something and he was... And he did it. He was so obedient and loyal.
Mm.
The man could have been a dog.
Yes, you're right. Now, what does that tell us?
There's a bit of role reversal.
Is there a sketch in the attempt to identify and prosecute the dog? And is there a broader sketch in a universe in which we find that a lot of crimes of all different sorts are being secretly directed by dogs. And this is like a kind of like an X-Files, right? But instead of aliens and supernatural phenomena, Mulder or Scully, I don't know which one is which because I have not really watched the show, is convinced that all these strange things that are occurring are being perpetrated by very persuasive dogs who can talk, but who don't do it when anybody else is around. Or possibly it's a police dog squad, but they don't use dogs to investigate crimes. They investigate crimes committed by dogs. And so this is just a genuine... Yeah.
They get in. They killed somebody.
Mm.
They get in the dog squad.
Yes.
And they tell you who did it. It was a dog.
It was probably a dog. This is what this is like Son of Sam happened, right? And sorry, it's probably a very awful thing. I mean, it is a very awful thing, whatever was associated with this particular killer. And yet here we are making light of it in some way. and hopefully bringing healing to the people who were affected through comedy.
I think it'll bring some closure to the people who were touched by this.
Now, what if that event, the dog talking to the man, was sort of like Roswell, like the alien crash landing? It did occur, but then it was hushed up, and we were made to think that the person was crazy. But the truth was, that was our first confirmed instance of a crime being planned by a dog. And after that point, a secret department inside the NYPD, for some reason, or the FBI, was formed, sort of like the Men in Black, but they only investigate dog crimes, but they do it all secretly.
Well, they wouldn't
and
wear
all the
black,
crimes
though,
are
dog,
really
they,
awful.
They wouldn't wear black, though, because dog hair comes up real...
The men in brown. The men in sort of floral brown.
The men in fur jackets.
The fuzz.
Look, the dog. What is it called? The dog.
The dog squad?
The dog squad.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I don't know, Al. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. It's quite a world, isn't it? It's quite a complex little set of mythologies intertwined. Well, not really intertwined. There's just one strand. Might be a bit tangled with itself. There was something else. Oh, well, I wanted to talk about my errands today, Al. Do you mind?
Wait, I just had an idea. Is it okay?
Oh, okay. All right.
I apologize.
Sure.
I apologize
if that's,
for distracting.
You think your idea is going to be more interesting than my errands? Fine.
This is just a weird... I mean, it's rare that I just have a full idea. But what about a couple where something happens? It doesn't have to be a lightning strike. It could be a small lightning strike. Say, like there was like a little static electricity, and a couple were both walking around in socks on the carpet.
Yes.
And some electricity goes from one hand to the other, the one person's hand, the wife, or the husband, and neither of them have to be male nor female. I'm just expressing that because the modern day. And then when they wake up in the morning, the husband has one of his hands is his wife's hand, and the wife, one of her hands is the husband's hand.
Yeah.
Or they wake up with each other's genitals.
This is a really good story. Yes, because so much of the time in these body swaps movies, yeah. It's the whole body that's swapped, right? But this, it's just the penis, or the lady version of the penis.
Hollywood would absolutely buy a genital swap movie. You never even have to show them. But it's like a rom-com Freaky Friday kind of thing. Right? But it's just two people.
Yeah.
And it could be two people who not are married but are getting at first hate each other and then later on are gonna maybe date.
Yeah.
But their genitals swap.
I think it's so good. I think, you know, it's definitely going to get into some issues that we perhaps are not qualified to fully do justice to.
Andy, I understand that it does touch on some trans stuff, but I think that this actually isn't a trans issue because this is so stupid. and it isn't about I'm now a woman and you're now a man, right?
Yes.
This doesn't change what their gender is.
Yes.
This is I've been a woman my whole life and have believed that I'm a woman. And now,
and I still
do. I have a grown man's penis, and right. I don't know whose penis.
Oh, I think they know whose it is.
Well, I mean, the discovery.
That's true.
Is part of the story.
They don't instantly know. I thought they were waking up next to each other, looking at each other's things. But if they just meet in a hall or whatever, and then separately come to this realization, I like the moment where after they've met up again, they have to try and work out if they've also swapped buttholes. They don't.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know for sure if they have, because it's very I think it would be very hard to know. Or maybe you'd feel different, but maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really like a modern reworking of Cinderella. You know, because then you'd have to find who has. I mean, I guess you assume someone has your genitals if you have theirs.
You hope. I think that probably the law of conservation of genitals would imply that it is the case. But
I think that's why it would be great for the woman in this to be a physicist, and she's the one who strongly believes that her genitals are still out there. Due to the law of conservation of genitals. You know, she understands a bit of stuff about how you can't completely destroy energy or matter or whatever like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what about a sandcastle, Einstein?
Say. Here's an interesting element. Mm. I mean, whether or not they could still feel the... Do they feel the genitals that they have now, or do they still feel what their genitals are up to wherever they are? Because that might help you in trying to identify where your genitals have gone. But it's less interesting, probably.
Yeah, it's less interesting in terms of getting to experience the other.
Sure.
But it is more interesting in the part where they get to track each other's genitals down.
Mm.
And they go, it feels like my genitals are in a pool. You know, I mean, maybe they could still have flashes.
Do you think that if you did find yourself with someone else's genitals, you would go to the pool? Do you think that's something that would be on your list of things to do?
Well, I mean, let's say 3 days have passed.
You've already done everything else.
You've broken them in.
Mm.
Would you be scared of doing something to the genitals in case they're not yours? Or would you instantly take ownership of them and treat them
and
like
drive it like treat them as poor,
treat them as poorly as you would treat the genital like they were genitals you were born with?
Treat them with as much contempt as if you were going to have to deal with them forever. You were stuck with them for life. These are all such terrific moral questions, and I think you've written the perfect film. And
thank you. And do you think that there's something in the husband and wife who just have each other's hand? I know it's not.
Now it's hard for me to feel that there's anything in it at all. It's hard for me.
I know, but in a way, it's because it's more subtle. Mm. You know, it's less. I mean, the other one is a film. I mean, you can see love blooming.
Mm, mm. You know, this one, you're like, this doesn't feel like anything at all.
Because you can see the climax of the other film is that they end up having sex with each other using each other's genitals.
And that's probably what swaps them back.
Maybe. You know?
Maybe.
But then she feels, I don't know, ashamed for not lasting very long. And... You know,
and that's what this movie is really about.
You know, maybe they had a one night stand. Now this seems, you know, they won't have to search each other, search for each other for so much. But if they had a one night stand and got struck by lightning during that, and it was not a satisfying experience, and then at the end they have sex one more time, but with the roles reversed, and then suddenly, it's a bit more complicated.
There's a horror version of this movie in which there is it's a very sexy horror movie in which it's sort of like The Ring, but where there is a penis that goes from person to person. And if you want to get rid of it, you have to pass it on to somebody else by having sex with them.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a horror film, you'd say, not like a series of pornos.
Well, I did say it was a sexy horror film. Yeah. I don't know.
Not a spooky porno.
Why don't they call
yeah
pornos rom-coms? Anyway,
what's the rum part?
The rom is the romance,
yeah.
And the cum rom-coms.
Comedy. I know, but it sounds like you're saying rum.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, my errands for today, Alistair.
Yeah.
They're nothing. It's very tedious. But we lost the key to the car, right? We only have one key to our car. And it had did I tell you that the car had started developing a tick where it automatically locks the door as soon as you step out, regardless of whether or not you've taken the key out or anything? Did I tell you about this?
I think you may have mentioned something like that.
Right, so the car just started locking itself. As soon as you closed the driver's door, it would lock itself. And we locked the kids in the car one day because of this. I got out of the car and the car just locked straight away. The kids are locked in there. Had to get the ROC to get the kids out. And we were trying, the kids were getting a bit upset after half an hour. So we were doing a puppet show for them outside the window with their toys and stuff. But
you couldn't convince them
to open the door.
Yeah.
I couldn't get, they couldn't get out of their, they were all strapped in to their little child seats.
And their thumbs are too weak.
They I was really trying to convince them to do it. And then I think that was starting to distress them a little, how much I was pushing for it. And in the end, we did just get somebody to come and break into the car, which they found quite entertaining.
An adult or a child?
To break in, it was an adult human from the.
I just
RAC.
Thought maybe to get kids out of a car, you're supposed to use a kid. I can't remember.
In some ways, that would be good. A tiny little child who you could sort of insert in there when they're, you know, maybe you could fit them in. Okay, here's a scenario, Alistair. There's some sort of treasure, or down a hole, right, or whatever. It's just a car that's locked, right?
It's in a hole with treasure.
No. Okay, it's just a car that's locked. The window is open a crack, right? But a person can't get in there. But what you can put in there is a newborn baby. You put the newborn baby in the
car. That's a pretty big crack, okay.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, that's the scenario. So you put the newborn baby in, and then you feed them up. And over years and years, you raise them inside the car until they're sufficiently developed that they're able to unlock the door for you. See,
So you can reach baby in there, but you can't get your arm down to the lock.
You can't get your arm down to the lock. You can pass food into them, and you can poke a boob through there to feed them or whatever. But it's like getting a ship into a bottle. You know, you can put a baby ship in or a ship embryo, and then you feed up the ship until it grows to become a full ship size. So it is with unlocking a car. Put the newborn in, raise it, or even you could get one of those new kind of external wombs we were talking about on the last episode of the podcast.
Yes.
Germinate the baby, inseminate, grow it in a little sack that you've poked through the window. This way the crack can be very, very small.
Very small. Right. That way, then it removes that silliness of...
Exactly.
I think that other one is just what I keep picturing, is that if you can't reach down to get the, you know, to reach the sort of the unlocking handle kind of thing, it means that when you're putting the baby in there, you're really just dropping it in there.
You're dropping it onto the seat, yes. Yeah. And you're not going to be able to clean up any of its waste or anything like that.
No.
I guess these are things you haven't thought it through, perhaps. You know, and then maybe someone does come really along.
You were really upset after, about not being able to get into your car, that you immediately, you know, just in a moment of passion or fear, yes, or you just drop
you
your baby
in
there. You
do get desperate in these scenarios.
I'll raise the baby in there for years. I just want this over and done with. So I'll just the baby in there for years.
Correct. Well, sometimes you just want to feel like you are taking action. You're making progress. And you might have tried a bunch of different things, and you do get into a bit of a frenzy, I find myself sometimes. And a lot of people in that situation would do something rash, like breaking a window of the car.
Well, the way that you could do this and make it really work, I think,
is that
it's in like a father's prized, like, you know, beast of a car that he keeps in his garage and he works, spends all his time, but they go for a drive, him, his wife, and
yeah.
Realize, oh my God, they can't get it out. And then she's like, break the window. He's like, no way.
We'll just raise the child in the car.
Yeah. And it's just his idea instead of saving.
Yeah.
Instead of getting the kid out, he was just like, he shows, and he folds a piece of paper and he puts like a little bit of, I don't know, you know, powder in there.
Sure.
And some, or passes a straw through there and pours milk through it. And the baby's just like that.
But
and he's
over
like,
years,
see?
They get quite adept at like changing the baby's nappy using long sort of chopsticks. And
coat hangers.
Yeah.
Unwound coat hangers.
The things you would normally use to sort of hook the door handle, but he
won't
for
allow
some
anyone
reason,
to do that. It'll scratch the
inside. It'll scratch the chrome. Yeah. He's just had that done. Yeah, you actually made this work, Alistair.
Then it's great seeing him graduate.
Yeah.
You know,
graduate school?
Uni.
Uni.
Yeah, graduate uni.
Why hasn't he opened the door yet?
And I like the idea that it's like something happens and they actually try the door and realize that the back door had been unlocked the whole time.
Yeah, great.
Oh, yeah. Or that he had his keys on him.
In the other pocket.
Yeah, or in his wallet. He goes like, oh, I did have a spare.
Anyway, so I think that's definitely a sketch idea, Alistair. You made that work, and I appreciate
Andy,
it.
It wouldn't have been possible without your ludicrous idea of dropping a full baby in there.
Well, still the thing, though, of... If once we can grow babies outside of the womb, the idea that you will be able to grow babies inside things that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to grow them in.
Exactly. Like a car.
Like a car or a bottle or whatever it is.
It's that thing.
A cave.
You know? It's that thing. It's like that thing when we first had phones, they were house phones. Like right now, we have house babies, right? We raise babies in our houses. But
correct.
The next step is to have the car phone / car baby.
That you analogy know? Is perfect. It's
perfect. Baby for when you're on the go. And then eventually we're going to progress to the point where we just have a baby on us at all times.
Mm.
And we're always going to be looking at our baby.
Mm.
And old people will be like, when I was young... People used to talk to each other instead of just staring at their babies.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So anyway, then we lost the key, our one key to the car. So the car was locked and we couldn't get in, obviously, anyway, but we also didn't have the key. And, yeah, just spent a long time searching the entire house. And we, in the end, we knew it was somewhere at the house because we haven't left the house. Like, there was no way for it to be anywhere else. And
sure.
We thought that one of the kids had probably hidden it somewhere, but they're always doing that kind of stuff. And you know, particularly the youngest one, we asked him, we said, have you seen the key? And he said, yeah. And then we said, where is it? And then he would just run up to random things in the house and say, there. And so we just kept searching things everywhere and not finding it. And then we decided that we had to get a locksmith because otherwise there's no point having a car if you can't get into it. And it was going to cost us $680 to get someone out to come and make a key. And then the day before the locksmith was supposed to come, Alistair, I found the key in the popcorn maker on the bottom shelf in the kitchen.
Where I'd put it, because that's where it's kept.
That's where we keep it. That's where we keep it.
And had Remy at any point run over to the popcorn maker and said, there?
No, he hadn't. But he has hidden things in the popcorn maker in the past, and we should have thought of that.
Was it because you were doing a big search? You were like, this is the day before, we better do a proper search.
We'd done our proper search. We'd done everything. And we'd looked on that shelf and looked through everything in that, like all the pots and pans that are there, but I just hadn't looked in the top of the popcorn maker. And I was lying on the floor looking under the bench. And then I was like, I'm going to turn that popcorn maker around. And then I found it. And it was the most glorious moment of my entire life. Not having
Did
to
you
spend
spank all
money.
Your kids after that? And then I spanked my children until the sun went down. the only thing greater, the only greater feeling than
how can I follow
$680.
Up this?
How can I boost this rush?
How can I keep this
endorphins?
Buzz?
And then I got my wife to line them up
yep.
on various knees.
Mm.
And I'll admit it, I spanked them. I spanked them silly.
Anyway.
Andy, I have not spanked any of my children yet.
No, I've not spanked any of my children or your children either. And I think it's unlikely that I ever will. It's. I mean, at this point, it would be insane. I think if you want to spank your kids, you probably have to start early. I can't imagine they'd be so upset and horrified. You want to break them and make them sort of sad anyway. God, so that you barely notice when you make them more sad later.
I use the pat on the bum, you know, for the baby as a real calming thing.
True.
So for that to be turned around as an act of discipline.
I mean, all those pats on the bum that I did to the boys when they were babies probably cumulatively add up to one enormous spank. But fortunately, pats, much like mobile phone radiation, are below the threshold energy required to do cellular damage. And so any cumulative effect that they may have is only of a thermal nature, and that is yet to be proven to cause any measurable side effects.
Sure. But you're suggesting that there is a somebody who has access to sort of to stepping outside of the sort of the temporal dimension, the time dimension. And could somehow pick out each spank and sort of put it on top of the other.
Each pat.
You know, the other butt pat. Yeah, each butt pat. And somehow, like, place each event over the other, you know, by taking, like, this one from May 1st, put that
like
one.
Like a supercut sort
and
of thing.
And add it to this one. A supercut, but not so that they go, but so that they all happen at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
You know, like your body is all, you know, puts them all together like that. And then just to see what would happen, you know, to the baby or, you know, or toddler, you know, once it got hit with the force of all the pets.
Well, another
at the same
way
time.
That this could occur is if there was a node where all parallel dimensions converge at a moment in time, and the baby receives the bottom pats of, you know, an infinite number of dads in parallel universes simultaneously.
Yeah, the infinite dad's butt pat, comforting butt pat. The destructive power of the infinite dad butt pat.
Are there any martial arts that sort of draw on that?
That use the butt pat? you sort of see it in football, you know, but in a way of congratulating each other. Which is, you know, but martial arts, let's see. Well, it's kind of a sideways... karate chop. And it's so, you know, and in a way it's like the putt, you know, it's like you're using the side instead of, you know, using the wide side rather than the thin side. So you're kind of using it like a putter. It's a karate chop that you use like a putter to just more accurately direct.
And
the
I guess, you know, much like you use a karate chop to send somebody to sleep, by, karate chopping them in the neck, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is also used to send somebody to sleep, and it makes me wonder if that's something that James Bond could use instead when he, you know, descends on an unwitting guard at gold fingers,
scoops him up. Man. Picks him up and gets the guard to sort of straddle him for a moment while he supports him from underneath, you know, with one arm under the knees.
Yeah.
Or under the thighs sort of thing. And then with the other hand. While the guy
rapidly but very gently.
Guy's like, his arms are flailing and he's trying to turn the gun around. Bond comes in with the sort of the cupped hand.
And soothes him off. To slumber. Yeah. And then there's, you know, maybe there's a little, puts down a little soft glowing sort of orange light.
And a white noisemaker.
Yeah. And then gets very angry if any of the other guards come in to disturb this peaceful scene. I think that might be a sketch.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the beautiful thing where he's like laying him down after putting him to sleep and then moving on
to the next one.
Yeah,
yeah. And then he starts stirring again. He's got to go back and just settle him one more time. It's really good.
He's got so many on the go, like so many spinning plates.
So I mean, it seems like we've sort of elevated nannying or like parenting as a martial art of some kind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, too much of anything is not good for you, babe. You know? And so if you sort of just focus the intensity of the butt pat.
Yeah. But I don't think we're even necessarily doing that here with the James Bond.
But it's just, you know, it's just more. It's just more than you would normally have in that scenario.
It's an adult dose. It's enough. It's enough.
Yeah.
Butt pat to soothe a horse.
Strong enough for a man made for a woman. I don't know why. That was the old Buy Menin ads all the time.
I don't know what that is.
Deodorant. It's just a deodorant ad that used to be on all the time when I was a kid in Canada.
Ah, Canada.
Buy Menin.
Yeah.
What a jingle. Buy Menin.
I don't know. I mean, it's catchy.
Buy Menin.
It's as catchy as three notes can be, I think.
Strong enough for a man made for a woman.
Yeah, like a man's deodorant. I wonder if there are any other man strength things that women would like to have access to that we've been keeping exclusively for ourselves, or that's been developed to deal with the with the horror that is being a man, that when applied to a woman.
Let's see. Sitting on the toilet for long, like 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Is there a product for that?
I think it's
a toilet.
I think it's called hemorrhoids. I think it's called having pre-bowel cancer, probably.
No, but people don't do that because they have bowel cancer. People just do that because it's probably just because it's a break. But
yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
What's that movie? What's that book with that Jonathan Silverstein Seagull?
Whatever. Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music by Neil Diamond. Now,
why was it ever anything? It feels like the most boring thing. Was it boring?
Well, I've read the book, and I have no idea. I haven't seen the film, but having read the book, I have absolutely no idea what the film could possibly be. Because the film, I assume, is a film. It's like a film that presumably has people in it or something. The book,
it's probably just animation, right?
Maybe. The book is about a seagull called Jonathan Livingston, who focuses very hard on being able to fly as fast as he can, and in so doing achieves a higher plane of existence, like ascends to some sort of spiritual seagull level where he flies with his ancestors, and that's what it is. That's all, and I don't know how, and it's all internal. It's all about him and his own personal thing. I don't know how it could be a film, and I certainly don't know how Neil Diamond could do the music.
Well, I mean, it's easy. It's easy to do the music for something. You don't have to do anything. You just go
la, da, 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 by minute. No, you're right. Music is easy.
Ba-da-da.
Yes.
Ba-da-da-da.
Let's make it our life goal to learn something about the Jonathan Livingston Seagull movie. I'll read the Wikipedia synopsis.
We need to find out who funded it.
That's the only thing that I want to learn about it. I don't want to.
I mean, it still seems like, what did he learn from his ancestors? What is there to learn?
I don't know, something about the nature of. It was some kind of Zen peace that he achieved by doing this, by focusing so much on it.
Was he an anxious seagull?
I'm clicking on it now. Do we need to tell people what it is? It's a spiritual.
No, Andy. This has got to be a multi-episodic thing.
Well, let's make a podcast that is trying to find out what Jonathan Livingston Seagull is in popular culture. Because is there a movie? Adaptations. It was produced a film of the same title. All right. The film was produced by filming actual seagulls and then superimposing human dialogue over it.
Okay.
The film's voice actors include James Franciscus in the title role and Philip Arne as his mentor. While the original novella was a commercial success, the film version was poorly received by critics and barely broke even at the box office, despite the fact that it consisted of filming seagulls and putting human dialogue over the top.
All we had to do was get a cameraman for one afternoon and send him down to the beach
with a bag of chips.
she would throw and then film and then throw and then film.
But the soundtrack album, written and recorded by Neil Diamond, was a critical and commercial success. A Grammy and a Golden Globe. So there you go.
Wow. Wow. Imagine that. Your movie is such a flop, but somehow just the soundtrack is a winner.
Yeah. Hmm. What a strange and twisted path we all travel. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. If only we could move fast enough to access our ancestors, they could straighten us out and put us on the right path. I don't know if there's any sketching.
I don't know. I mean, there must be something. There must be something in something in this area. in filming animals and putting voices over them, but it feels too vague to pin down.
Well, you know what? If we just find the way in which wife and husband get each other's hands.
Mm.
For it to be a sketch. I've written it down as a half sketch.
Bless
but
you.
But if we can just find, the husband discovers that he's got to moisturize his hand all the time. Mm. The wife finds that her hand is
stronger, better for
busy.
Opening jars.
Absolutely. She gets this urge to work it out even more.
Yeah, that all men want that. they all want that.
I had one of those, but somebody broke into my car and stole it.
That's interesting. And they afterwards, I imagine, had a stronger arm, capable of breaking into other cars, stealing. Mm-hmm. Stealing things to exercise other parts of the body. Maybe they were trying to break into a house.
Or the Olympics.
Or the Olympics. Hello. Anyway, I like that idea of stealing your way up.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I think
I started with nothing. And then I stole my way to the top. First, I stole a thing to exercise my hand, allowing me to open heavier doors. And then I was able to steal a new pair of shoes, allowing me to creep more quietly. And then
I stole a gun, allowing me
to murder and threaten people.
And I stole a flag carrier, allowing me to steal big flags. And I'll eventually set up my own embassy.
Well, by planting my flag on an island, I was able to colonize and steal that island. The greatest act of theft, stealing land from...
Andy, it's written down.
The inhabitants.
Stealing way up. Andy, I don't know if you know about this, but we've got three words from a listener.
This is the first time hearing of it, Alistair, and I wish you'd talked to me about this beforehand.
Well, let me take it down to the basics. Andy, we have listeners, right? There are people who listen. And then some of them donate to our Patreon, and they're allowed to give us suggestions for sketches, and we got to come up with a sketch based off of the three words.
I like the sound of these people.
Well, you're going to love the sound of this one. This guy's name is Jack Stanton.
Jack. I do love the sound of Jack.
Yep, and I thought you would. Well,
that's one of my son's middle names.
You're going to love Jack's words. But before we start, Andy, would you like to guess what his words might be?
Yeah. Serendipity.
No, Andy.
Okay.
Imagine if... If you had guessed that and it was correct.
Oh, okay.
That would have been pretty...
Leprechaun?
Coincidental.
Leprechaun?
Hey?
Leprechaun.
No, Andy.
No. Okay. Dog?
No, none of these are correct, Andy. The first word is Venetian.
Ah. Okay.
The second one is meats.
Venetian meats?
Well, it's M-E-E-T-S.
Okay. Cool.
But I do like the idea of Venetian meats, just meats that you sort of slice horizontally.
Yeah.
And then
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Block light. And then the third word is Venusian.
Venetian meets Venusian. Well, so Venusian would presumably be someone from Venus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think... I wonder if we will ever be able to terraform Venus to make it habitable. Because I like...
I think we just need to move some of the planets.
Well... But if we're because we're capable of making Earth uninhabitable just by changing the constituents of its atmosphere, surely we can do the same thing for Venus, but the opposite, right? And we'll be able to go over there and, I don't know, plant some trees or get some of the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and make it terraform it, make it livable. But I was wondering if maybe one of the ways we could do it was with an enormous set of Venetian blinds high in the atmosphere.
I was going to say by sending Italians there.
Well, they do bring a lot of culture, you know, and one of, I think, because terraforming, right, a lot of the time involves huge activity, you know, moving rocks around, changing the atmosphere and all that sort of thing. But then once you've done that and you send robots or some sort of sentient slime mold to do that part of the job, but then after a while it's now livable but necessarily want to live there. And so you might send people from Italy who are able to establish a culinary culture and that sort of thing and then get it. The point.
People who have strong communities.
I mean, this is in many ways what Australia was like, probably, for the 40s.
This is a microcosm. This is a metaphor for Melbourne.
Yes, exactly.
A kind
until
of
Lygon
rough,
Street.
Unlivable place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they established Lygon Street. And then suddenly the place had culture. You could get pizza.
You could get pasta.
You could get red wine.
You could be exposed to
professional. Yeah, you could be exposed to people who were professional cyclists.
Is that anything?
Well, I don't know about the Italian part.
Yeah, it's hard to think that sending a particular culture of people or race of people or whatever it is to a planet that you don't want to live in yet. It's hard to think of that as being anything other than horribly racist and probably a crime.
Sure, yeah.
But, Alistair, I'm always wondering, when are we going to get artificial spider silk, right? Because I remember when I was a kid and a teen, I used to read a lot of articles about how we were going to get artificial spider silk and how spider silk is so strong, we're going to get it. It's better than regular silk, and regular silk is already pretty good, okay? And then I read this thing about how they're injecting spider enzymes into goats, and then the goat's milk now contains the proteins that are in spider silk. And so far, since then, I haven't seen anything from it. I haven't seen the results of this spider silk,
seen
goats,
anyone,
goat's
well,
milk silk, right?
Anyone wear a sort of a goat milk shirt?
I haven't seen this, right? And I want to know what happened to that. But maybe, though, much like we can get using CRISPR, right? We can take whatever it is that makes people from Italy have a good culinary culture out of their DNA and put it into a bacterium or possibly into a goat. And then we can send that to the planet and have a single-celled organism that is capable of establishing a market gardens and
just so that So this is just so that stuff is there when we get there and we don't have to set it up ourselves.
When you get there, there's pizzas around. There's pasta, there's pizza. There's antipasto. There's good, there's coffee. Just,
and they've set up Venetian blinds so the planet isn't too hot, even though it's so close to the sun.
Exactly.
But it's the second one. Wait, Mole View. So it's Mercury first, then Venus. And Venus is somehow is the hottest one.
Venus is the hottest because it has an atmosphere. It is basically global warming.
Okay.
Yeah, it's wearing a bit of a blanket. And okay. So I think, Alistair, I think you'll find that is technically a sketch idea and is slightly less racist than it was otherwise going to be.
Okay, so we're sending a goat silk, spider silk goat with Italian DNA.
Well, I think actually putting it into a single-celled organism, right? A bacterium that you can send over there. And then when you do land, there is like bubbling pools of rich organic matter, but floating on the surface of that pool is a margarita pizza. And
sure. I mean, if you just needed somebody to just go out and set up a whole bunch of shady spots, that's what you really need.
Yeah, shaded also be pretty crucial.
But I guess we can all shade under the pizzas.
Correct.
Pizza umbrellas, pizza parasols. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, but you're not feeling good about it. And why would you? It's a terrible idea. It's all good. What were the words?
But
again?
I didn't. Venetian meets Venusian.
Mm. How do you make?
I mean,
a
I guess
Venetian
you could just
blind?
Have a hot gas blind.
Mm. It's because there's Venetian blinds and there's Roman blinds. Those are two Italian blinds, right?
I guess so, yeah.
And then...
That's for blinds of it. Stop moving. I know which ones are the worst are those doily blinds.
Oh, the ones that's just like light lace curtains?
Yeah, lace that, curtains.
Disgusting. They're a horrible, vile thing. That seem to only attract filth and make your house look like it is covered in spider's webs even when it isn't. They look terrible from inside and outside. Yeah.
But it reminds you of grandparents at the same time.
But what is it? We had them in one of our houses that we moved into and we took them all down and threw them in the basement in a garbage bag and never got them out. But technically they were still even when we left. So I think we got our bond back, but they're really horrible. What is the advantage of that? Is it to sort of provide dappled light?
I think it's just that people can't see into your house properly.
Right, but your windows.
But yeah,
but you can still get.
But you still get some light,
and you can't see out, but you can see doilies on them.
You can see doilies at all time.
My God, what a fiasco. Who are these people who are looking into houses anyway?
I mean, I think if I had a good view of a place,
and
of a window, I think occasionally you can't help but just be interested.
Maybe you're worried about peeping Toms, but then I would put it to this, that sometimes wearing lace is a very sexy thing to look at. And if you have lace curtains, then everything that you look through the window at will be irresistibly sexy. And in so doing, you've actually made the situation worse. People are more likely to want in to peer in at you now that they can see you through lace.
Andy, you've found the sketch.
Have I?
You did, Andy. I really enjoyed that. Oh no! And then you know you go to your nana's house and you go, Nana, what is this lice you've put under this fruit bowl makes this
the section of the
tabletop so erotic.
It's not what's revealed, it's what's not revealed.
All I know is that I can't see a nipple there and it makes me want to see one.
But I one is heavily implied. Cool. All right, well then we got somewhere. Do you want to tell us what sketches we have today?
You know what, Andy, it would be an absolute pleasure. Well, we've got the Dog Squad detectives who are pretty sure dogs are behind crimes.
Cool.
And then we've got the Freaky Friday genitals
such
film.
A good idea, Alistair, and I'm glad this came to you fully formed.
My God, I can't believe, I'll be surprised if nobody's done that before, but God, we better write it fast because, Andy, this is going to get scooped up. Someone's just, if somebody murmurs it even near a movie studio, it'll get picked up. Then we've got, this is a half sketch, but wife and husband get each other's hand.
Okay.
I think there's something good here. And I just, I don't know. For some reason, I just had a scene in my head where, like, they're both eating from the same popcorn. Like bowl of popcorn and then maybe the husband like starts rubbing the hand of the wife that's going into the popcorn.
Mm. Yep.
And then she's like, "You're rubbing your own hand." <He's>, I know. I don't know why I find that funny. All right.
I don't think you should raising rub somebody's hand when they're putting it into popcorn.
You don't think that you should? No, but if it's you know, it's like you're caressing your beloved's hand.
Not when they're going for popcorn.
You know, it's like your hands meet in the bowl.
Hands, that's a business transaction.
And your hands would be moving too fast for them to be caught.
Correct.
For a moment of love. Then we've got raising a child in a locked car. Then we've got butt pet bond.
Mm.
Then we've got stole a thing to exercise my hand, and then I'm stealing my way up.
I think stealing my way up might be my
title.
Yeah.
Then we got terraforming Venus by Venetian bacteria.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
And then we've got lace curtains make it more sexy for peeping toms.
Everything's sexy.
And that
the walls sexy
with lace.
TV sexy. I wear glasses which have lace over the lenses.
Your eyes.
I look at the world
so
through lace spectacles. And I am constantly erect.
The world, it just seems more arousing. Lace spectacles. Oh, you may have just came across a new title for this.
Yeah, all right. Lace specs.
All right, Andy. I'll take us through the song. Boont do do boont beady do boont beady boont beady boont boont.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. God, fuck, we appreciate it.
Gosh, fuck it. Mm. You know, it's really lovely of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for staying. I hope that your lives are good. You can find us on Twitter at Two and Tank and on Instagram at Two and Tank. And I'm at Alistair TB on Twitter
and
A. Trombley Birchall.
Stupid old Andy.
On Instagram.
Sorry.
Oh, stupid old
my
Andy.
God. And
you can review
yes.
us. And you can support us on Patreon if you like. Some people have been jumping in. We appreciate it.
Oh, so good. And you can check out Magma.
You're all the great.
And
feel free to check out
Magma. The link is in the show notes. And we love you.
You.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.